The Christian church, this is number five now, why we should study this book of John, has battled earnestly to defend the full deity of Christ against many heretics. And this includes the doctrine of the Trinity. Our gospel is a Trinitarian gospel. It involves the power of God the Father. It involves the victory of Jesus, God the Son. And it also involves the application of the work of the Holy Spirit to open our blinded eyes, give us faith and repentance, and to bring us into our right relationship with the eternal God. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. What a joy to bring the message of the Word of God again today. And as we move on into this new year, we are commencing a new series on the Gospel according to John. That beloved disciple has left us a beloved gospel. And it begins right at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And of course, that's at creation. The Word of God was already there. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This is the Gospel of John. This is a portion of Scripture that really ministers to the divine nature, the Godhood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a gospel that will defend itself against the cults, against those who deny the Godhood and the eternal nature of Jesus as the Son of God. And so I hope that you'll be joining with us day by day as we let the Bible speak on John's gospel. And today the message really is the eternal nature of the Son. This is a book of theology mingled with miracles and the message. And I hope there will be a message for your heart today. Stay tuned right through as we move now to John 1, verse 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. And we're not going to read the chapter, but I just want to rehearse verse 1. And I want to have you think on it very deeply today. This single verse in John chapter 1, verse 1. I would like you to see it in your Bible if you could, because this is the revelation of God about the Lord Jesus, who is the messenger of the Father. And it says in this very simple text, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In this text, we are at the starting line of the race of faith. If you slip here, you'll never make it. If you fail and flounder on the truth that is set out here, you will never run the race of faith. Last week, we spent our morning message showing that this book is all about the call to believe. 100 times in this gospel, we are called to believe and to receive the message of the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. John's gospel is not only the best known of the four gospels, but its key doctrine is the person, the deity, the Godhood of the Lord Jesus. Now that makes all the difference. It's the difference between whether our hope is well-founded or whether the Lord Jesus is phony. He is either the Son of God or he is fake. He is either truly God of God or he is a master in deceit. because he claimed to raise the dead. He claimed to be the resurrection and the life. He claimed to be the only way to the Father, and all others are not right. He claimed that he has the ability to give to dead, dying sinners eternal life. Now, no mere man could do that. If I was to make that claim in the pulpit today, you would probably throw stones at me. And they did that to the Lord Jesus, because the Jews knew by his claims that he was making himself out to be equal with God. Now, I have five reasons in my introduction on why study this book of John. Because, number one, there is information in this book of John about the person of our Lord Jesus that you do not find anywhere else, nor in the rest of the Bible. And there are things revealed about the Lord Jesus, his relationship with his Father, and indeed his promises of the gospel that you do not read in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. In every age, this is point number two now, the reason to study this book, in every age it has been required that we defend the deity of the Lord Jesus. Heretics rose up in the very first century, even in the days of the Apostle Paul, and they were claiming that Jesus never came in the flesh, that he was not real, that he was phony. And right down the history of the Christian church, and no less in this age of confusion and false doctrines, there are heretics that are out to deny the full divine nature of Jesus as the Son of God. And we need to be equipped from the Bible to defend that doctrine and that truth. There is a debate going on right now about the eternal generation of the Son. I'll not trouble you with it. It is confusion from beginning to end, but somewhere along the way it puts the question mark. Is Jesus really the eternal Son of God, fully equal with the Father? That is in Reformed camps. It is in the evangelical church today, and the church is going to have to address it head on, or we are in danger of losing the very gospel that we have. These opening verses give the clearest evidence of the equality of the Lord Jesus with the Father. I ask you to show me any other verse in the Bible that reveals it as clearly, as dogmatically, as is found here in this open verse. Number four, the claims of Christ require that he is God. I went ahead of myself earlier by saying that he who says he's the resurrection and the life, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he rise again. When you go to a funeral, and Lord willing, we'll be at the graveside of Mrs. Cursar's funeral on Friday at 1 p.m. And when we go to that funeral as Christians, do we stand alongside the grave and say all hope is gone? Do we not say that there's going to be a resurrection day? That our Lord Jesus has promised that he will come again. The graves will open and we shall be with Christ, and we shall be transformed into the likeness of Christ. These are the claims of Christianity, of our Lord Jesus, and if he's not God, it's all a lie. It's all bogus. And such statements really are ridiculous. The Christian church, this is number five now, why we should study this book of John, has battled earnestly to defend the full deity of Christ against many heretics, and this includes the doctrine of the Trinity. Our gospel is a Trinitarian gospel. It involves the power of God the Father. It involves the victory
of Jesus, God the Son. And it also involves the application of the work of the Holy Spirit to open our blinded eyes, give us faith and repentance, and to bring us into our right relationship with the eternal God. Now, this sermon today might be what you might call heavy doctrine. And I have endeavored to try and answer that issue by giving out here this confession or the Nicene Creed. Now, if I can find it here in my Bible, that would be helpful. But I hope that you have a copy. And in this Nicene Creed, you have a very clear statement that has been the foundation of the Christian church, well, from the Council of Nicaea, 325, right up to the Council of Constantinople, 381. And these church councils were defending against those who rose up to say, Jesus is not God. What I want to prove from this paper you have with this creed is that this confession boldly acclaims that Jesus is God of very God, that he is equal with God. And this has been the consistent testimony of the Christian church right down through the ages, that we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. Now, how could anybody come up with that? Only if the Bible teaches it. Only if it agrees with what the Bible states. And here in John's Gospel, chapter 1, you have the foundation for such statements. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Out of that one text, you will see three clear truths about our Lord Jesus. He is eternal. He was in the beginning. He was not created. Jesus did not begin on the day of creation. He was already there in the beginning. Secondly, you have personality, that he was not only there, but he was with God. Now, it doesn't say in God, but he is a separate person in the presence of God. And that gives separate personality to the Lord Jesus. It is a good foundation for the doctrinal Trinitarian truth that there is within the Godhead Father, Son, and of course many other parts of the Bible will teach there is also the Holy Spirit. Now, the third thing that we're going to see in this text is his equality, that he was with God and the Word was God. This is a profound and an amazing declaration that John the Apostle records, and he wants his writers to know this from the very opening statement. And this now becomes the premise for everything else that is recorded in the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. So the Lord Jesus was not created. That's very important. He was not just man. In verse 14, we are told that the Word became flesh. He had an existence prior to Bethlehem when he was born into this world of Mary. He was already God in eternity. And that second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus, took our nature. There was joined to the divine nature of the Lord a human nature, that he would be our perfect, wonderful Savior, the Savior of men. He was not made in the likeness of angels, but made in our very likeness. Now, in this verse, you'll notice that John uses the exact same language as in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God. Now, I didn't plan the Bible memorization list for this sermon, but somehow it coincided perfectly. And what we read and recited in Genesis 1, John comes back to in the beginning. You see, the Bible never teaches that there is a God. It assumes that God is. And when you come to the person of the Lord Jesus, John simply says, in the beginning was the Word. He already existed. This eternal nature and full Godhead of our Lord Jesus is sprinkled through this gospel in the seven I Ams of the Lord Jesus. Seven times he says, I am. John 6, I am the bread of life. John 8, I am the light of the world. John 10, I am the door. John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. A total of seven times. And the Jews hated it. When the Jesus referred to himself as the I am, they were ready to stone and kill him because he was making himself out to be equal with God. And you remember when God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush, and Moses asked, whom shall I say that sent me? And God spoke, I am that I am. The eternal, self-existent God who has no beginning and no end. He's eternal. And the Lord Jesus took to himself that same name repeatedly right through the record of this book of John. The I Ams of the Lord Jesus are a self-acclamation of his full Godhood and deity. And so we see that he is eternal. Now we see that he's personal. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we don't worship a robot? We don't worship mere cold legal doctrine. Christians belong to the church, but the church is founded by Jesus Christ. And he is a real living person. Isn't it wonderful that we can have the hymn in our hymn book, what a friend we have in Jesus, because he is a person. And he's a separate person from the Father and a separate person from the Holy Spirit. And this is outlined in that statement that he is with God. In eternity past, when God dwelt in his Trinitarian family, there was that interaction between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there was that communion. Read Proverbs 8 sometime, and you will read how the Father delighted when Jesus was in the bosom of the Father. And all of these scriptures declare and teach us that our Lord Jesus is a separate, distinct person from the Father. And there never was a time that God the Father existed that the Lord Jesus did not coexist in his presence. Now, if you look at verse 2, you will see how John ramps up this truth. Just in case it's beyond us, and it is. It is so spectacular that this unique person could actually be from all eternity a person in the presence of God. He says, the same was in the beginning with God. Now, the Bible clearly teaches the separate interaction between the Father and the Son. The Father sends the Son. Jesus claimed he was sent by his Father. Now, that means they were separate persons. Jesus prayed to his Father, and he taught the disciples to pray, Our Father. And when our Lord got alone, he was communing with the Father, and he was calling on the Father and showing that he was distinct in personality, and yet he himself was God. Now, all of this is written for our faith, that we would believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing we would have eternal life. And if you are today sitting in the seat saying, this cannot be, this is so fantastic, so out of the ballpark, that there is no possibility that the man who came in real historic time in AD 0, he changed the calendar, so he's a real person who changed the history of the world, who lived 33 years, died on the cross on AD 33, that this person is a unique divine person, and that the God said through the messenger, the angel, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His people. We as Christians belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to us. This is the good news of the gospel. We are not seeking to get to heaven by our own independent route. We're not trying to get to heaven by our own works. We are united to this second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ, who took our nature, who became our living Savior, and now represents us before the Father. And he says, he that believeth on the Son shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. You're saying, where's that in the Bible? Well, let's go to John 3 and to the closing verses, 35, 36, and you will see that this is the clear message of the gospel. John 3, 35. The Father loveth the Son. Two distinct persons. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. That means my life and your life are in the hands of Christ. He is now the ruler of all things. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. This is the man, Christ Jesus. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. What an amazing thing that there is one man, he's called the man Christ Jesus, who is united to a divine nature. And that unique person has the power to give you eternal life in heaven. But without him, you will be damned in hell for all eternity. That's the message. Now, did Jesus cause men to go to hell? No. It is unbelief that causes men to be lost. Because it says right here, he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be less.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and we're on the air each day at this time to bring you the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And I hope that you will be with us each day as we learn from John's gospel. We'll be moving event by event, and I trust that you will read the book of John. That's the best thing that you can do in preparation for these messages, is to read John's gospel. There are 21 chapters, and it would be easy to read that book in 1 month by taking a chapter per day. And I assure you that once you allow this word to sink into your heart and control your mind, that you will be changed. This Gospel of John is powerful. It is written that these things are written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And of course, men and women who are filled with unbelief, they need to get the evidence, they need to get this record of the Savior that they may know him. And so here's where you begin, by opening the Bible at John chapter 1, verse 1, which says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And day by day we'll be coming back to this book, bringing messages on the nature, the person, the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and how he can save you too. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.